Sometimes we think, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And yet we leave God out of the equation. There's nothing that happens that God doesn't see and God doesn't know. And we just have to set our hearts on the things of the Lord and say, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know exactly what to do in this situation. And Lord, my heart is hurting right now because of all this. But I desperately pray, Lord, that you would teach me and use me. Whatever is going on, it doesn't even seem like you're in charge, God, but I know you are. I know you are. And so, Lord, help me.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 9.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Gideon, incredible man of faith. He's in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. But everyone, even though you might be a great man or a great woman of faith, we're always flawed. We have flaws in us. We're not perfect. Sometimes people think we need to be perfect, you know, kind of like a tightrope of Christianity and don't fall off of that. No, wait a minute. We're all flawed. And all the good that Gideon did, we find at the end of his life, he kind of got off track. He married a lot of women. He had 70 sons. And then he had concubines and he had this fellow Abimelech. And as soon as he was gone, they basically undid everything that he had done. For 40 years, they had peace. He conquered over the Midianites who were oppressing them, and it was good for 40 years. It's an amazing how we can have a good life for many, many years and then all of a sudden just fall off track. You know, it's like that good leader is gone, and so now we just going to do crazy things. And so that's what happens. And it's interesting because God, we know that God raises up deliverers or judges when the people are oppressed. They cry out to God and he delivers them. Now, it's interesting that the deliverer, Gideon, was delivering them from the Midianites, who basically God was using them to chastise or judge them, because they had gone astray. But it's really interesting that God doesn't always use those on the outside, because they were on the outside of Israel. Sometimes he uses those on the inside, the very inside to judge and to chastise his people, to bring them around again. And that's what we're going to see here with Abimelech, the chastisement of the Lord. But notice the last three verses of chapter 8 lead us into chapter 9. It says in verse 33, "Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berith their god," or a covenant with Berith. That's what Berith means, covenant with Baal. "Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of the enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the household of Zerubbabel," that is Gideon, "in accord with all the good that he had done to Israel." Now, Zerubbabel, remember when Gideon went down and tore down all the idols in his father's house? They said he's contending with Baal. That's Zerubbabel, one who contends with Baal. That's why he's also called Zerubbabel, but that is Gideon. So now we come down to chapter 9. So they're backslid, they've gone away from the Lord, and so judgment will come, but not from another nation, not from an enemy nation, but from within. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, now, remember, his mother was a Canaanite, and she was the concubine, not really a wife. And so now he's going to the city of their origin, and he's trying to get those from his father, from his mother's household on his side. And speak now in the hearing of all the elders of Shechem, which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Zerubbabel, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Also, remember that I am your bone and your flesh. So he is a great politician. He's a great politician, but he's really thirsty for power. I'm always very cautious when somebody is so ambitious. You know, it's kind of like they're pushing to do this and to do that. And we've had people do that, and I thought, well, they're zealous. But I found they're pushing their own agenda. And you've got to be very careful of that, because sometimes the best people in ministry are the most reluctant, and yet they're very capable. And sometimes it's kind of hard to pull them in, but when you pull them in, boy, do they do a wonderful job. Well, you don't have to pull this guy in. He's ready to go. He's going to come in like gangbusters, and he's convincing them to get on his side, one to rule instead of 70. And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, and they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our relative. So that's a good enough qualification, isn't it? He's one of our own. Let's put him in charge. Yeah, well, let's look at his character. Let's look at what's motivating him, why he's doing this. In verse 4, they gave him 70 pieces of silver, and the house from the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Zerubbabel, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem and all Beth Milo, that's the house in Milo, some area there that they hung out in, assembled together, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar which was in Shechem. God never commanded them to have a king, and God never said, if he did command it, who's going to be the king. So here is something self-willed. They do it on their own. You know, interesting, when, as I mentioned, when God chastises, it can come from without another nation, like it did with Midian, or it can come from within, Abimelech. Remember, they're backslid now. They've gone away from the Lord. So God is going to use one of their own, Abimelech, although his mother's a Canaanite and she's a concubine, but the father is a good man, Gideon. And so we find that he comes in and he usurps authority. He comes in with too much ambition. And you find that through all this, it's God's providence. Sometimes we think, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And yet we leave God out of the equation. There's nothing that happens that God doesn't see and God doesn't know. And we just have to set our hearts on the things of the Lord and say, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know exactly what to do in this situation. But Lord, I am yours. And Lord, my heart is hurting right now because of all this. But I desperately pray, Lord, that you would teach me and use me and let me be your mouthpiece in this situation. Let me be your hands. Let me be your feet. Whatever is going on, I don't understand it. It doesn't even seem like you're in charge, God. But I know you are. I know you are. And so, Lord, help me. Help me to understand this. And so I think there's so many things that go on in the world that we don't understand and we need wisdom on. But the point is, you know, God has not forsaken his people. You know, he watches and he cares for. And yet he allows certain things to take place. And we're going to see that this man, Abimelech, he pushes his way into power. And you see that his tyranny is placed upon the people. And eventually they get sick and tired of that. And you find that all these people that came after Gideon's sons, all of a sudden they turn on one another. And God uses them to really go after one another. And it's really a judgment. Now, here, Abimelech's hometown there, Shechem, he's a persuader, he's a politician, but he's also a murderer. And I don't think we know half of the things that have happened in our society. You know, I lived through a time where the assassination of Martin Luther King, assassination of JFK, Bobby Kennedy, just a lot of bad things were going on. And you just wonder now, you know, who was behind this? Was there some entity behind this that was doing this? But you see, this happens, and we see it here. And so I don't know. Some are saying, yeah, now they've got the goods on it. CIA was behind it. I don't know. I would never say that because I don't know. Who knows? But the point is, we know here who was behind it. So we have to go, you know, it's not beyond those who want political power and those who are ambitious to do such things. And so we want to live in a society that's just almost like we've got the kingdom of God now and God's reigning, but it doesn't happen like that. We live in a fallen world. And so in living in that fallen world, we have to know how to get through this fallen world and be a witness and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to sinful people, to bring them to faith in Christ. Now, one of the things that he does is put his half-brothers, because that's what they are, his half-brothers, to death, the 70 of them, because he's driven by power. I don't really understand that somebody be driven to that degree. But it seems like that drive, that power force within him overrules any natural affection. You'd think you'd have a natural affection for those in your own family, or at least your half-brothers. I mean, loyalty and love and lasting friendships are set aside for what? This unreasonable instinct to have power. It just doesn't compute with me, but I know it happens. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who could know it? You know, sometimes when you have a terrible crime and the perpetrator is maybe someone that you knew well, you go, oh, I can't believe that they would do it. They were such a nice person. No, we all have that sin nature. And so even though you might have a nice front there is something that could go on in your life. Obviously, Abimelech persuaded them. So he probably had a nice persona, but he had an evil heart. You know, he spoke peace, but his heart was war. And that is what is taking place. It's really impossible to know what and how, you know, what drives a person to do such evil. Now, one of the things that I think we're seeing here in these first six verses is that passion is dominating. That passion for power is dominating Abimelech. And maybe it's jealousy because he was born maybe outside of the marriage, born of a concubine. And the rest of the sons, they had a privileged kind of upbringing. It could be. Some feel that way. You know, and so he's going from nothing to something. And so that's his drive. I want to be somebody. And so he's driven to the worst kind of behavior. Not seeking God for a king. No, it's his self-will. People weren't asked to have a king. You see, the Shechemites, they're just as guilty as Abimelech. They're guilty in this, destroying Gideon's legitimate sons. And yet God's using that for the apostasy that Israel is in right now. And I think that's interesting. You have to look at our nation. What's going on in our nation? I've never seen anything like this. Anything like this. You see, I hope all things, believe all things, endure all things. Now we're kind of enduring all things, but I'm always hoping that it gets back to some semblance of sanity. You know, but you don't know. It may, as God runs through the gambit of judgment, as John MacArthur is saying, it's not that we're going into judgment, we are being judged right now. I see MacArthur on his website saying that. One of the things that's really sad, now this is dealing with the nation of Israel, but it's really sad when there are Abimelechs in the church. Abimelechs in the church who rise up and they ruin a thriving ministry. What was good, what was prosperous for the Lord is now destroyed by the ambition of those who have the Abimelech kind of spirit. Oh, maybe it's not assassination by blood or death that way, but assassination by defamation. They just slander and defame that person to where, you know, they put them down to raise themselves up. That's sad, and I've seen that. It's a horrible thing. Not much different than what we see here. Well, as we go on, verse 7, we'll go a little farther to verse 21. Now, when they told Jotham, remember, he got away, he hid. He went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them. Now, Gerizim is right next to Shechem. It's not a mountain, but it's a hill. Remember when Moses led him into the promised land, there was Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Ebal was where the curses would come from, and Gerizim would be where the blessings would come from. So in one sense, he's on that mountain, and he's going to speak judgment and prophecy on them, but only so they might come around and might repent and that they would be blessed. But notice what he says, and he's going to use a parable to teach them. He said, listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Now, one of the things in Israel, there are areas that are almost like amphitheaters where you speak from high above, but it just resonates throughout the whole place. That's why Jesus could speak to 5,000. Didn't have any microphone, but the acoustics were such that they might bounce off the rocks and kind of a natural, natural place for the voice to carry. And so that's what we're seeing here as he's speaking to them. Listen to me, men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. I like that because God will listen to us if we're willing to listen to him. When we're not willing to listen to him in rebuke, in repentance, or direction, how can we expect him to listen to us? We want to do what we want to do, God, so I just want to ignore you. And then we get in trouble and we cry out to God, and God goes, wait a minute, you're not listening to me? And you want me to listen to you? Well, I think that's interesting. It's a whole study in itself, not that God won't listen to you at times, but you have to notice there is a time where when all we're doing is praying, but we're not following him, there's a time where God's just going to pull back until we get the message. It's to obey is better than sacrifice. So he goes on, verse 8, once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, the trees, that's being Shechem, the people of Shechem, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my fatness with which God and man are honored and go to wave over the trees? Then the trees said to the fig tree, you come, reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees? Then the trees said to the vine, you come, reign over us. But the vine said to them, shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and man, and go to wave over the trees? Now, notice, first of all, they went to fruitful trees, vines, that which would produce, that which would have something that would benefit the people, you know, beneficial to the people, fruitful trees. And they said, no, no. It's almost as though the trees are going, no, no, no. The fruit that I'm bearing is from God. God created me as my fruit tree, a vine. Yeah, he created me, and so he's going to look over me. God didn't say, let's have a king to rule. So almost these trees, these fruit trees, are a lot more wise than the Shechemites. But now notice, he goes to the bramble. Finally, verse 14, all the trees said to the bramble, you come, reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Big mouth speaking big things. But notice a bramble. That's like a tumbleweed. I don't know if you don't see those in Hawaii. When I was a kid growing up, we would, you know, live in different places, mainly North Redondo when I was a kid. And I would see these brambles. They would just, you know, they would be like bushes that, you know, uprooted, you know, because they're dead. And they would just, the wind would carry them and just go. And that's what this is. They have no fruit. They have no real value here. And yet this bramble is saying, if I'm going to reign over you, then you could abide in my shadow, really a shadow from a bramble, you know, a tumbleweed. There's no shadow there. And then he talks about, if you don't follow me, then fire will come out and consume you. Here's one who wants to rule with authority. He wants to put pressure. If I don't rule over you, it's going to be hard. Fire will come out to consume you. It's almost a prophecy Jotham is giving, because that's exactly what's going to happen as we go on and see this.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 9. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 9. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.